All right, it's 9 o'clock. We can start the recording. Thank you. Once again, good morning. And to our online listeners or participants, good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining in the conversation. We start day two and the last day of the Africa Domain Name System Forum. The first session is going to look at the financial sector in Africa and its impact on the domain name system. One of the conversations that we have had consistently for the last 5 years is how to come up with payment gateways that make it easy for citizens of African countries to be able to purchase domain names. In fact, yesterday we had a presentation from Neil Dundas. There was a concern on how social media, for lack of a better word, is eating into the domain name space. Nowadays, if you try to go and sell a domain, someone will tell you, after all, I'm on Facebook, or I'm on Twitter, or I'm on TikTok, or something like that. So how do we sustain the value of the domain name? I think what is coming clear is that customers want what they can easily buy on phone. If you tell me to go to my laptop so that I can get a website or a domain name, you are taking me too far. I want something that I can get right away on my phone. And one of the critical components has been the issue of payment, which we have been discussing in the Africa DNS Forum for a very long time. But I'm glad and I'm here with Igor, who rose to the challenge and came up with a number of solutions that can be able to address some of the challenges that we have been facing. Just to remind us that the Africa Domain Name System Forum brings together the registries, which of course manage the databases that contain information on domains that are registered and registrants information. But there are also intermediaries who are registrars, and they are a key partner in this process. And Igor is one of the registrars on the continent. Yes, you kept hearing about the African Registrar Association. So we have, of course, ICANN accredited registrars, but at local level, most of our country code top level domain registries also have local registrars and resellers, the people whom we go to when we want to buy the domain name. So one of the sectors that, of course, has largely been affected by the domain name system is the financial sector. Anytime, for example, .ke goes down, for example, I am on Kenya Commercial Bank and I utilize the online platform, either on my phone or on the computer to do transactions from time to time. So what is the implication when the domain name system goes down? If my other bank or probably that I use is Absa, which is largely a South African bank. So assuming the banking platform is, or rather the domain name system is affected, what is its impact? It means that people are unable to transact. People are unable to continue with their daily activities because of disruptions that may touch on the banking system. So for this and many other things, I want to invite Igor to take the floor and just take us through some of the innovations and solutions that he has developed, and also his thought on the current state of the financial system in Africa, and whether it is supportive to the domain name system, and also what opportunities do we have within the domain name system to transform the financial sector in Africa. Igor, you can proceed.
Thank you, Barak. Good morning, everybody. Bonjour à ceux qui parlent le français.
Morning to those who speak in French. I will actually continue in English because those who speak English don't understand French, but in any event, we do have the translation services.
Igor Chiza, and I'm from a company called AfroRegister, one of the ICANN accredited registrar. We were accredited in 2007, And one of our first registrar solution we used was a third-party solution. It was costing us a lot of money. That helped us to get the accreditation. And then we evolved. We used the WHMCS. The first one was logic boxes, but logic boxes wasn't addressing our problems very well because it was only selling GTLDs. So we had to create a separate system to sell CCTLDs. And CCTLDs is actually one of our main source of income right now because we sell most of the African CCTLDs right now. The second was as I said, WHMCS, which I think helped us to actually create or inspired us to create our own registrar solution, which actually very soon we'll be happy to give to our African local registrars, because we work with or we partner with a few local registrars such as here in Nairobi, in Rwanda as well, and beyond. So with that, we were using before PayPal as our payment solution. PayPal, and there was another one called To Checkout. All those solutions are American solutions, but which actually does not suit to our local markets. Normally, PayPal, I think that in Africa, it's not very well represented. So as Barak mentioned, we were talking about how can we get a payment gateway to address these problems of buying domain names here in Africa, using our own solutions, such as, there is mobile payment, which is actually widely used in Africa. So we were inspired, PayPal was also, again, our inspiration, because I looked at how PayPal works, and we took some of the features which PayPal uses to into our system, such as, for instance, I can send an email to my client who want to pay me from our solution. Our solution is called AfriPay. I'm sorry, I did not make a present. I did not prepare any presentation on the slides because I was not aware that I need to show how it works. But as I said, if needed, I can try to prepare something and then send it to the website in the coming days. So our solution, as I was saying, is called AfriPay, and it currently we currently offer solutions. We can accept most of the mobile payment solutions here within in East Africa, such as M-Pesa in Kenya, Airtel, and MTN in Rwanda, Airtel and Tigo Pesa in M-Pesa and Tigo Pesa in Tanzania, MTN and Airtel in Uganda, and Eco Cash, Lumi Cash in Burundi. But we do also accept this is within East Africa, and in Benin we accept MTN Benin. So we are trying to get more mobile payments in Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso for now, and Senegal. And we do also accept credit cards. We have partnered with Bank of Kigali in Rwanda and UBA here in Kenya. This actually helps us to accept payments ourselves. But during COVID in 2020, we started getting people or customers who are actually buying domain names from us, especially in Rwanda, who started asking us if they can use our payment solution. Then we start offering it as a solution to them as well. And it actually worked well, although sometimes with the payment gateways, especially when accepting credit cards, there are people who are trying to steal money from you. I'll give you an example, especially people who are based in US. What I've noticed is someone who wants to pay for a service or a good from US using a US debit or credit card, they go back to their bank and say that their card was used without the authorization, which actually, and it's them who actually have used it. And because with the US bank cards, because I do have one as well, and I do transact and I see how it happened, there's on a certain amount, probably even 500 and less, you are not asked from some bank to go through authentication. And when you pay, the money is taken straight away. So then it would be very hard to prove that you did or did not transact. So we do have these kind of cases. So we had at some point to block this option to our client in Rwanda, for example, and even in Uganda as well, we had the same problem. So now we are trying to see how to address this problem to actually start offering it again. So the same solution, we used it with Kenic so far and the Nick Adetik in Chad when we organized an auction. We do have an auction platform which we've developed in-house. So we do work with registries who want to auction the domain names. And with Kenic as a good example, I'm sure that if they are here, they can attest to that. It worked very well with AfriPay. We managed to acquire payment by card, by M-Pesa as well, or even MTN, I'm not sure, but anyone, wherever you are, you could use whichever, whether it's mobile payment or card, whichever easy is for you. We've just recently done it in Chad as well, and it worked very well. So the payment solution is there. I cannot say that we have mastered it very well, because we still have this issue with people who are trying to steal from us using credit cards. And the other issue we have is banks. Banks, when approaching them, there are too many regulations, and they look at what kind of volume we'll be doing. And in the domain name sector in Africa, There are not too much transactions, which will be interesting for the banks. So, but we hope that with time, since we are not actually providing it for only domain names right now, we've developed our own some other applications which can use the payment gateway. So I'm hoping that this will ease with what the banks are requiring from us. So as Barak mentioned, in Africa, we do have problems with payments. Most of the time, you want to pay a registry. They ask you, to send a wire transfer, or you send, the money is finished, in your account balance. And some of the registries, they offer what I would call an overdraft while waiting for the money to reach your the account. Some of them they don't. So imagine that you had the balance of $1,000. It's an example, and during the night that $1,000 is exhausted. So you have to wait. You send a wire, and then you have to wait for like 3 to 5 working days. So imagine if it's a Friday, so you have to wait until probably Wednesday, so that money can reach the account. And this actually has an effect on us registrars, where like we cannot provide a good service when this happens. So we need to find ways of addressing this issue so that the domain names, doesn't stop because the money is not there yet. I think that, if registries have worked with, for a number of years with registrars, they know their track record. So offering an overdraft for 2 or 3 days of up to $500, if that registrar has not failed on paying their dues, so I don't see why. The GTLDs, most of them they do. I mean, all of them, I would say that they have that option. So I'm thinking why then we are waiting to get this payment gateway, which can help us to credit instantly our account. So I had not prepared so many things to talk about. So probably with questions, I can talk more if there is any. Thank you so much for listening to me. Over to you, Barak.
Thank you very much, Igor. I don't know if we have any questions in the room so far. And as I welcome Rosemary to join me on the stage, Rosemary is a board member of Kenya Network Information Center and also the data protection officer for Kenya Commercial Bank. I think it's one of the biggest banks in the region, and a tech lawyer. She calls herself Tech Wakili. I think she's been very key in fintech conversations in Kenya, and glad to just have her on the panel as we reflect on this conversation. So do we have any questions on the issue of payment gateways? Looking around the room. Questions or comments? Okay, I see Ali Haji looking for a mic. I don't know where our ushers are. Someone to help us. Okay, thank you. Ali Haji is over there. Thank you. Any other question or comment? I will open up this discussion. To what extent does the DNS system affect the financial sector in Africa? And what do we need to do? Rather, what does the financial sector need to do? And what do we as a DNS community need to do in response to the needs of the financial sector? Yes.
Ali Haji, pour la FTLD, pour l'enregistrement. Merci. Merci beaucoup, Igor, pour cette
Thank you very much, Igor, for your presentation. I just have one question. It would seem that online payment is much more frequent in other continents other than the African continent. And it seems to be working just fine. But it must be said that many African countries have many users who are quite reluctant to get into it. And I have a story to tell you. I was once in Comoros with users. And we were discussing e-commerce. And participants were also reluctant. And that was also the case in other countries in the community. So, according to what you've seen to date and based on your experiences, what would be the cause for that feeling amongst users? Is it a lack of knowledge? Or do you think there may be other issues which would explain this reluctance to make online payments? Thank you.
Okay. Merci, Ali. Bon.
Igor speaking. Thank you, Ali. I have a question. You speak of reluctance. But when you speak of reluctance, do you mean that they do not want to use their credit cards online to purchase products from abroad? Or is it to purchase goods and products locally? Ali Haji speaking. Well, both actually. Some had to receive local shippings and others wanted to acquire foreign services. It's as if they were reluctant to make online payments in general. Some even said they preferred using the old system rather than making online payments. Igor speaking, okay. I think it depends on people's education. I quite often travel in other African countries, for instance, here in Kenya. I don't see Kenyans being reluctant to using their credit cards online or making online payments, but usually people are reluctant when it comes to making a purchase for a good that isn't automatically delivered. When you purchase an online magazine, then that will be automatically delivered. If you purchase a service that will automatically be delivered, then that you can start using right away, then they will use it. But if you wish to purchase a telephone from the US, for instance, on Amazon, receiving the shipping will take a certain time and you may not be sure that you will actually receive it. So I think when you purchase services or goods that won't automatically be delivered, that's when people are reluctant because they don't have an experience with that. But those who do, especially in Kenya and Rwanda, they are beginning to use it. Even in West Africa, such as Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria and others, people are beginning to gradually use their credit cards to make online purchases. So I think that's pretty much where the difficulty lies. Thank you.
I think from a Kenyan perspective and maybe East Africa, the main issue has been, I guess, access. In your local duka, which is a shop, you can easily pay via, say, mobile money, M-Pesa, but they don't have your PDQ or your payment point. So maybe for online payments, maybe cards, maybe that's the one issue. And also trust. I think we all saw it when we started off, those of us who saw M-Pesa grow. A long time ago, somebody would say we don't accept it because we didn't understand it much. But the minute it got accepted and there was a lot of use, then trust was gained. So people just, it became ubiquitous. So I guess maybe that's attraction. But I think what I'll also comment on is what is a lost opportunity for us as Africans when we do not adopt alternative payment methods as opposed to, like, for example, cash. Cash is what we use on a day-to-day basis. But what is the opportunity that we're losing when we fail to utilize online payments? The first thing, of course, is lack of records. I get many times Africa has been called a dark continent. I think dark because of lack of information. And I guess shedding light on transactions will actually give a lot of visibility in terms of even valuation of our economy. Sometimes you value a town based on the little cash that you see, but if you actually had visibility over transactions, we'd actually get accurate valuations of various places and even promoting e-commerce and the economy. So I guess today's conversation is very critical, and it even assists us in other ways that we've seen maybe in other markets. Issues like anti-money laundering and just making sure that the financial systems are secure. So we should work together towards maybe seeing how do we encourage trade through interconnected payment gateways. And I'm hoping that the DNS conversation can lead to even further conversations in that regard that will help us unite in from a financial perspective, making it easier to do business between each other countries. And can you imagine how much maybe the worth of e-commerce in Africa would be if payment gateways were interconnected? That's it from me.
Thank you, Rosemary. I think to make this conversation more relevant, majority of our guests, as they were coming in, we had a bit of payment issues, especially for those who are trying to get e-visa. And I think I want to look at it positively and negatively because one, the government of Kenya now is requiring that payments be made online, whether it is working or not working. That's the other thing. So it is upon industry and stakeholders to make sure that these payments are actually working online. And I think for a few colleagues, I see Raft and from Madagascar and Landry, they quickly found ways of going around the system, banking system that could be able to support the e-visa system that was working. So I'm looking at one, the decision by government to put, or rather to require that the visa be acquired online. And two, the decision has led to the need for payment gateways to be used to facilitate the process. And I think banks in the process have then been able to respond. But I think Ali raises a very important thing about the concern in the community. I don't know by a show of hands how many are regular e-commerce customers in the room. Let me just see. Okay, I see the hands are not so many people, but I know so many techies who would rather go to the counter and withdraw money as opposed to use money, okay? Probably the effect of being scammed and the likes. But I think this is a conversation that we need to continuously have. I don't know what the room feels. What are some of the issues that are making citizens reluctant to embrace some of these online payments? Because for the payment gateways to be developed, there has to be a demand or there has to be a need at the community level. And so if there is no need, then we need to address why are people reluctant? Because I believe there are companies that are willing and companies that are ready to invest. I know most of you are from the technical community. You are ready with payment solutions like AfriPay that Igor has developed. But what do you think are some of these issues that are making citizens reluctant to embrace the online payments? Any feedback or reactions from the room? It's a discussion. Yes, sir. And please introduce yourself as you speak. Anyone else so that we take several rounds? We have another hand here. We have Grace and we have Dr. Paulos Nirenda on the other side. And Landry here. So let's start with the gentleman there. Try to be brief, please.
So I'm Otieno Ian, student at ZTech University. So one of the things that has made so many people not to embrace the online transactions are like the increased level of fraud that has been over the internet for a while, that maybe you input your data or your payment details, then after some few days you get calls from different people inquiring about a certain transaction that you made, and they would want to like mitigate and know how much you have in your account. And since most of people in the society are not learned, like they're not taught about these fraudsters, they tend to give out their details and they are being scammed. So I think scam has been a major issue. Yeah.
Thank you. Landry.
Okay. Merci, Barak. La première.
Thank you, Barak. I think the first cause of this behavior of the population is the financial habits in African countries. There is a habit of paying cash and to have the service directly available to you. That's the first thing. The second thing is financial education of the different citizens. What I can see as far as what we experienced in Côte d'Ivoire with COVID, with the restrictions that we had, there was a tendency to neglect electronic payment. Or to go back to electronic payments and to use mobile payments. Even in the remote villages in Côte d'Ivoire, people are now using mobile payments. There is a mobile money box that is available for payments, transfers, electronic payments, and so forth. This is something that is becoming a habit. And a citizen, whether it is a coal miner or whether it is someone who is a manager, etc., very often these people are starting to use electronic transfers. But in terms of DNS operations, it is not something that has become a habit. This is something specific. We are telecom regulators, and so as far as we're concerned, the CCTLD, the registry itself, is the telecom regulator and ICT regulator in Côte d'Ivoire. And so what we do is that we deal with businesses, and so the payment methods that we promote are bank transfers. For small and medium enterprises, we also use cash, but we have not yet integrated the electronic payment method. We use banking methods. So that's the issue. I would like to better understand your experience with Kenic. Kenic does not seem to have the same situation in terms of commercial business. It sells, but we are a regulator. We are not necessarily trade oriented, so we don't have the same question of making money. And so, of course, electronic payments facilitate a lot of things, but it's not necessarily a priority or a must for the regulator that we are. So maybe this can be used as an example for the other stakeholders in our ecosystem. But it's not a must for us. So I wanted to understand what was the strategy that you adopted at Kenic, so that if we want to adopt this payment method, what is the policy that we could carry out in order to integrate this in our process? That's the question.
Move to, I believe, Grace on the other side. I'll come back to you. I see the questions are increasing. Let's go to Grace and then Dr. Nyirenda. Then I will come back to those two questions.
Thank you, Barack. My colleague spoke about some of the hindrances about people for adopting digital or for going e-commerce. I would like just to highlight two of them. One being the security aspect. As you know, cyberspace, people still fear to go online because they still believe that they will steal their money, they will steal their whatever they have. So I have seen a lot of things from experience, at least from the registry side, even our registrars being reluctant because of security aspect. So number two, I will talk about the lack of digital skills, which I still believe that is still huge in the whole continent, where I still believe that we need a lot of awareness driven by the government, just to educate the youth, to educate everyone on the importance of online transaction. And lastly, I'll talk about the cost of transaction, in which you'll find in some countries, it is still very high. And people are still used to their traditional way of doing operations. Yeah, those are the few items I had to highlight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Grace. Dr. Nyirenda, just behind.
Okay, so I think that maybe I'm just following up from Grace. I think it's a matter of trust. I think if we can build this, that would be great. I was interested in actual data, since you have been operating the system, Ego. Do you have data on how often fraudulent transactions occur, or how much money has been lost on the system? And maybe this question also applies to Kenya. I think M-Pesa has been there now for quite a long time. What is the data characteristics on fraudulent transactions? How much is being lost on a relative basis, so fractional basis, and how is this affecting trust in the people who want access electronic transactions? Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nyirenda. Before the panelists respond, I'll come back for the next round of questions. And I think there's an online question. So let me allow the panel to respond so that we don't lose the momentum. But I think we also have data centers in the room. Any data center here represented? I know that they are playing a critical role in lowering the cost of services. In fact, nowadays, I prefer to push money to the bank and make a payment from the app as opposed to send directly from my phone, because there are zero charges from KCB and other banks, as opposed to the phone where you incur a small charge. So I would have liked to hear a perspective from the data center, but Igor, you could take the questions, and then we also have Rosemary take the same. Then I will take remote and the rest of the questions.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Barak. I will actually comment on the scamming issue, fraud. Actually, he's right. I mean, I always see a lot of emails being sent to people, you know, to give out the bank details that, you know, or they've won something to click on some and on a link to and submit their bank the card details or the bank details so that the money can be paid onto the bank account. I know a friend who has lost over $30,000 at some point because of that. So like that person to actually trust to make any transactions online, you know, it will be very hard for them. So, you know, scamming is real. And I always tell people who actually, I mean, I have friends who actually send, you know, forward me these kind of emails and asking me, do you think that this is real? I always say, Have you ever played on any lottery, or this thing, this email you are being sent? Have you ever participated in anything? Because people, we have a weakness to money. Every time we see money, we just wanna grab it, and we need to know that money you haven't worked for. It's wrong money. So that means that someone sending you an email that you've won something, don't even open it, just put it in the trash. Coming back to what Landry said, our experience with Kenick, I mean, it was during, as I said, actually what I've noticed is registries in Africa, they don't know that they are sitting on a gold mine. You have some of interesting domain names, which actually you are offering at a cheap price, and probably many people, they want those domain names. Kenick actually saw that, and some other few registries we are talking as well. With Kenick, we worked on the auction of those domain names, provided the system, and provided also the payment gateway. And I don't think that there has been at any time any problem when people were transacting then. So I would actually encourage registries, especially you have a lot of domain names in pending delete. I always wonder why do you keep those domain names in pending delete for that longer period? Just we have as a free register, we have an auction platform. Why can't you work together? Then those domain names in pending delete, put them in an auction platform. Then when there might be some of these, I've seen Chinese, they like to buy a lot of domain names, especially when they are short and on the second level. So we always get, especially with Ivory Coast, we always get inquiries from Chinese. Can you ask if these domain names can be released? It's in pending delete for so many days. And, then we send them an email, they release it, then it can be registered. But what you don't know, you could have made some money. That money could be like acquiring that domain and then registering it, because it's passed on to another registrant. So if we work that way, I always hear registries, they are crying like, we don't get enough money, but money is there. You actually don't know how to actually get that money from what you have. Kenick, they've seen that and they're actually doing that. And we, as I said, we've done the same thing with Chad as well. At the beginning, we did with South Sudan, but it didn't work well. But I hope that next time it will happen very well. And Dr. Nirenda, I mean, Grace, it was a comment, so I'm not going to comment on that. Dr. Nirenda asked if we have any data on these fraudulent transactions. Yes, actually, we did not lose a lot because, mainly in, in Rwanda, the customers we tend to get were these ones who want to, who are selling Bitcoins. And with the Bitcoin, I always say there is a lot of fraud happening there. So every time I see some of people work with Enough Register, we see these kind of transactions. We always ask, we always ask what kind of business this person is in. But at the beginning, I would say that when we see that it's a business where we fear that there might be a lot of fraud, what we tend to do is we keep, instead of giving that money just after we are credited, we tend to keep it for like a month or so. But recently, there was a case of like where I can't say that we lost. It's under investigation. So that money has been taken away from our account. It's about $1,500 US dollars. But other than that, we haven't lost a lot so far because we are a bit careful on who we accept. Going forward, I just wanna, this is an observation an idea I can put to you people in the room. When developing this payment gateway, we have a lot of African diaspora, outside of Africa, in America, Europe, and so forth. And most of the time, they would want to buy stuff for their beloved ones back in their home. And imagine if we can provide a solution where supermarkets or shops or smaller shops, how can they actually manage to sell the product, the food, online, so that someone who is in the US can buy something to the mom who is in a remote village. That would be great. So this is something which I think that going forward, we have to think of. Me, I've been talking to a lot of African people who live abroad. And it's something which they would appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. Rosemary?
Apologies. I thought I was loud enough by myself. So at Kenick, we take a commercial approach in terms of how we engage. So we drive registration. It's unlike regular regulators say in other markets. What we do, it's we drive membership, we get people to register, hence the need to create different ways to do business. But critically for this discussion is that we have an integral partnership with our ecosystem, especially the financial services ecosystem, to see how we can work together. And I think that is critical, and that has been a very key part in how this market has grown. In terms of what could be done, I guess skills transfer is a critical thing. We need to work with the current ecosystem, academia, and all those, so that to ensure that we have the adequate skill sets to support the ecosystem. And then in terms of cybersecurity, of course, there's a mention that about reluctance. In terms of how much has been reluctance because of security issues and standards, and I'll keep saying that the more something is used, the more human beings will do what they do best. We're known to error, maybe knowingly or unknowingly. So fraud increases. I think there was the Kenya Financial Sector Stability Report that showed an increase in cybercrime. And also the Kenya National Computer Incidents Response Team, KECERT. Those of you who were there on Monday must have met some of them. They were on the panel. And they mentioned that we've had, say, in Kenya, 158.4 million cyber threats, which is an increase from previous years. And the main reason is, as you increase internet penetration and have an increase in uptake of e-commerce, of course, this happens, but what then do we do to mitigate? That doesn't mean that we stop online payments or we stop trying. We keep at it and we grow our market by building more resilient systems to ensure that we protect the cyberspace that we're now moving into. And I think that's the approach that we should take because of the, of course, the higher gains. You know, in the legal profession, they always have the weighing scale. I'm a lawyer by profession, so I tend to go back to the basics of our training, which is sometimes look at the gains and the losses. I think there's more to gain by us encouraging the use of more online payments, and the encouragement to other registrars and regulators is to work closely with your ecosystem. I'm sure you have financial sector partners. You mentioned that it's a gold mine. Have a meet and greet. Listen and ask themselves, what's your wish list? If we work together, what could we achieve? And I think if we do that, then we'll move forward very well. And I think that is what has worked in Kenya. The close work, the close engagement between regulators and actually businesses, and that synergy is even what has led to even development of laws on a day-to-day basis that helps promote e-commerce and even promote online trade and e-commerce. So I guess that's the simple answer that I'll give. Greater collaboration. You may not want to look at it from the commercial perspective in terms of maybe selling domains and whatnot, but what more can you use so that you catalyze the growth of trade online?
Thank you, Rosemary. I think we will take the remote questions and the remaining round of questions so that we can finish promptly.
Thank you, Barak. So we have a question about Tigo Cash from Paul Ndugu Kariuki. What rates are applicable in Tigo Cash for the merchant and the end user within Kenya? And how long does it take for the merchant to access the money received in Tigo Cash?
Thank you. I think that will go to Igor. There was a question. Yes, please introduce yourself next to Grace. The microphone should be there shortly. Was there another question? Have you asked your question? Not yet. Okay, we can start with you and then we go to, the mic has already gone. We'll come back here. Any other question? This is a closing round or comment.
My name is Annette. It was just a comment regarding the question that was asked on one of the reasons that is leading to the low uptake of online payment systems. And what I have seen, especially in the last 2 years in Africa, we've experienced a lot of innovation in the fintech sector. But then again, there has been little to no consumer education on the exact solutions that the payment gateways are providing. So if the solution providers can prioritize on that, I think that can maybe change the statistics. So thank you.
Thank you very much. That's a good intervention. Yes, let's have our colleague here.
Hi, good morning. I'm Kacha Brian, a digital profiler at Radicha. Well, I would love to take a different approach. There's a dilemma between private sector and government in terms of now the e-commerce and payment. My view is there's an innovation gap between government and private sector. For example, while transacting with the fiat money or paying with the fiat money, there's no transaction fee and everything. But there are security issues that existed. The fiat money, there was fake notes, fake coins and everything. So the ultimate goal when you're paying online is to have a system that has no transaction fee. So what happened next? Does the government buy in or kill the innovations in the private sector? Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think Igor has raised the issue of Bitcoin. I can't see Dusan from Gransey, but he'll be coming in the next session. I hope he can talk about, as we talk about innovation, some of the experiences with the alternative payment mechanisms like blockchain. So I think I will request Igor to respond to the question and also make closing remarks. And Rosemary as well will wrap up for us the session. And then we proceed for the tea break at exactly 10 o'clock. Igor?
Okay, thank you, Barak. If I heard the question correctly, so this is a person in Kenya who wants to ask about the fees for the for Tigo Cash as a merchant. Am I correct?
Yes, the rates applicable in Tigo Cash for the merchant.
Okay, so Tigo Cash, if he's referring to Tigo Cash in Tanzania. So, you know, depending on the volume he's making, we start off 3% and lower as the volume goes high. And how can he get, then if he transacts in Tanzania and then he wants his money here in Kenya, then we need to withdraw to his M-Pesa account. I think that's all I can say about that. So as a closing remarks, and I just want to say this, especially to the younger people. Young people can do great things if they have a great leadership. With all these issues, we have payment gate. Because, with whatever systems we are building, we build, with young people. And we also even ask those young people, some of them, we pay some of them to actually try to hack us so that we see the issues or, security issues on our systems, and it helps us. So, I had this idea. Why not, like here in Africa? I don't know if AFTD can do that, or we make something like, an African community developing our own systems, where like whether it's payment gateways, whether it's systems which we can use here in Africa, and you know, do that as, you know, be volunteers, and then be shareholders, and then when these systems start making money, then you get paid as those systems progress. I give you an example, quick example, like WHMCS. WHMCS was actually built by volunteers, and then making money slowly. And now WHMCS has been bought by cPanel. And I'm sure that those who had designed that, they, you know, they managed to get some money out of it. So I think that as Africans, you know, we attend a lot of meetings, but what we do after those meetings, it's like we are going back to whatever we are doing. It's like we are coming here to just enjoy, dance, and drink, and, you know, greet each other, and then go back to our respective countries, just to continue doing what we do. We actually need to be patriotic, love our continent. I remember I mean, I'm going to quote the president of Rwanda. I was following him talking about, that was back in 2007, wanting to sit at the high table. When he's saying that when the president, the African president, going to meetings, you know, they are sitting back, and there are the people in Europe, America, they sit at the high table. You know, you apply the same in technology. Don't you want to sit with Facebook, Google? We can, you know, we can do anything they can do. You know, we've attended the same schools, we've learned the same things. Everything is on the net. I have a friend, a colleague called Mike. He always tells me, you know, Google is our friend, because many things are on Google, and we can build so many things together. But we need to actually don't put money as a motivation. Let be your motivation be wanna be first. You know, compete with those who actually have already made it. We just wanna make it. Leave your name, so that your name can live long. You know, you see an example of Steve Jobs. You know, it's like he's still existing through his work. So we just don't wanna die. We just wanna continue living through our work. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Igor, and thank you for the challenge, Rosemary.
I guess I'll respond to the question of the dilemma about the innovation gap between government and private sector. And it is, that's how it's supposed to go, because innovation always goes before regulation. And if it was the other way around, I'd be very worried. So it's in the right place. Now, what happens after that? It's about having meaningful policy conversations. Once you've created something, explain it, and then now help build a policy framework that supports what it is that you do. You mentioned cryptocurrencies. I guess some countries have got discussions, and even in Kenya, we have a discussion paper on the central bank digital currency. All this will be run through the rails of the infrastructure that we're discussing today. So there's a need to bridge that gap and to ensure that, you know, there's a transfer of skill sets. Like, what does it mean? What impact will DNS have on CBDCs? Those are the questions that we should be asking ourselves. What impact can, you know, DNS have on intra-African trade? You mentioned issues like no transaction fees. I guess there's a lot more money to be made outside transaction fees. Call your banker friends. I'm happy to shed light. But just having transaction velocity within various ecosystems does a lot to grow economies and maybe speak to the real issues as Africans. We have something like the Africa Continental Free Trade Area Agreement. Right now, intra-Africa trade is, I think at 2021, I'm not so sure what it is right now, it was 14.4%. What can, you know, digital financial services that are done through the DNS framework, what more could that do? If we improved inter-African trade, of course, it'll mean even lifting people out of poverty. there's a thought that if we increase it even up to maybe 30-40%, you've lifted over 30 million out of poverty. So it can be a good thing. So maybe my closing remarks is that we have an obligation, all of us in this room, with further knowledge in terms of how best to do things, to go back. Let's pick up on the challenges you've just given us, to go back and help work with our governments, work with our businesses, to see how can we make use of these assets that we have to improve financial technology and even increase of trade using the platforms that we have access to. I guess the challenge is back at us. What can we do with what we have to help us use that common word, leapfrog, to jump across the challenges that we have? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. We've come to the end of our session this morning. Very interesting perspectives and challenges. I think, Igor, you've given us a challenge to come up with African solutions to African problems. If I understood it well, an African version of GitHub, something like that. I think for your information, Igor is also in the process of building a registry system for the African continent. We hope that there'll be some takers in the room to try out this system. So we are not just talking, but some actions are coming up in the room. But I think if you are also innovating or coming up with solutions, we really invite you to the table so that at least in subsequent sessions, we can have real solutions to the challenges that we are discussing in the room. With that, may I request you to join me in applauding my panel, Rosemary and Igor. I think they've done justice to the subject, and thank you very much. You may have tea. Let's be back by 10:30 so that we proceed with the next session. Thank you.
Recording stopped.